What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, June 29, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, I'm Bob, almost on vacation.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 890 of the Biden-Harris administration, 495 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Instagram, TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, Spoutable, and all of the other social media platforms. Just Bob Seska for those. And, of course, our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there is the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Spicy Jody Hamilton. I don't know how you're sitting here, Jody.
What? I've only been up since 3. What?
I know, since scary o'clock. Stupid o'clock.
Insane o'clock, yes.
That's right. StephanieMiller.com, also freespeech.org. To continue to watch the lovely and talented Jody Hamilton on the Stephanie Miller Show all week. Yes. Also, patreon.com/fromthebunker and David T-Rex Ferguson. His music project is Astral Summer. That'd be patreon.com/Astral Summer. The writing is superb over
yes.
there. Yes.
Excellent.
Really enjoying David's contributions to his own Patreon.
I didn't know you guys were reading. That's so sweet. I'm having a blast. Like, you know, it's like I said on the Stephanie Miller Show, blogging is dead, long live blogging.
You mean after or before you said fuck, or after or before you said shit?
Oh, I thought it was two fucks and a shit. It was only one fuck and a shit?
One fuck and one shit.
I was right on the verge of saying the F-bomb again when I was talking about my senators.
Yes, you were.
Because I am the only state. Georgia is the only state in the country with two fuckable senators. Okay, so...
But at the very last minute,
it was like bunkable, is what I think I said.
You said bunkable, exactly.
So in spirit, there was a second F in there that you had teed
Indeed.
Up. Yeah, it was in the on deck
in
circle.
In my defense, I had just washed out my mouth with soap and I couldn't do a thing with it.
See, that's the F word is my fatal flaw. That's like the thing that I wish I could somehow disabuse myself of, the fact that I copiously say the F word all the
time. It's a good word.
And of course, it's a great word. I'll never forget the story. I always tell this story. So listeners of the show.
It's been around for like 1,000 years, too.
Yeah, of course.
Fornicating under consent of the king.
I remember when I was a delivery guy for Domino's Pizza. I was friends with the manager.
Oh, wow.
And one day he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Bob, you know, you'd make a great Domino's manager, except you say the word fuck too much."
And said, "Yeah, you went to blogging and never looked back.
So
and
I was like,
said, fuck yeah.
On one hand, I'm going, fuck. And on the other hand, I'm going, Domino's manager. Which am I going to choose? And I've chose the F word.
I am with you on that. It's a good word. Like George Carlin said, it's a noun, it's a verb, it's an adverb, it's an adjective. It's a great fucking word.
Yes.
I did have a really wonderful time. Thank you.
That was fun. That was a very fun time.
We should do it all the time.
And I could see you, which was nice.
I always love watching Chris Lavoie have to dive under the console to hit that dump button.
Poor thing.
It needs to be like a giant red button, like the jolly candy-like button from that Ren and Stimpy episode.
The big red candy-like button.
Well, they basically, it's under there so that he doesn't hit it.
Accidentally.
By mistake. Because when I was learning how to run the board, I asked Sean, I said, "Why is it down there?" He goes, "So we don't hit it by mistake." Because I would have it up and very loud. dump button right there and up kind of high, not low, so you're not going to hit it.
You would set your coffee on it. Yeah. Mm.
No, like up on the wall or something, away so that you have to actually get to it, but still not. I mean, he has to dive under that desk.
Yeah.
Well, he's a big guy. He can lift my house.
What you have to do is get one of those latches like they have with the nuclear launch codes. You know, there's like a little cover over the switch that they have to flip up and then they throw the switch. That's what
and
you need.
Two people have to throw the switches simultaneously from opposite sides of the room.
Yeah, but we only have 7 seconds when somebody says fuck. So.
Well, see, that's a whole other thing. I mean, I've done many, many hours of radio using a delay so I could take calls live on the air. And I swear to God, I still couldn't tell you how a delay works and the dump button works. It's like has something to do with the space-time continuum.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Like, oh my, am I 7 seconds ahead, 7 seconds behind? What happens when I hit the dump button? Do I go back in time 7 seconds?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it's so weird.
That's its special purpose.
But Jody, you're doing an awesome job this week, as always.
There was a guy on Twitter that said I was the worst, and I was like, aw, you try this, you asshole.
You got this friend, Sean Bishop, who's an animator on Prodigy. By the way, sign Carlos Alice Rocky's petition to keep Prodigy going on Paramount Plus. So that's a mandatory thing. That's everyone's homework for the next 2 weeks. Go to Carlos Alice Rocky's Twitter feed, click on that petition. Anyway, so Sean and I were talking about how awesome and centered you are, Jody. How much of a pleasure it is to hear you guest hosting that show because you've just got that even-keeled, unflappable attitude. It's so good. You're so good.
She's so tired. I could see on the monitor. She was so sleepy that it was like, is this an emergency? No. Okay, continue to process at regular speed.
I basically, you know? it's because I get up normally at 4, so it's a little earlier.
Yeah.
And it's like 3 is early. And then last night, Travis emails me at like 6 o'clock. It was the last thing I checked before I went to bed.
Wow.
And he goes,
six.
I'm like, what are you still doing up? And he goes, wait, I'm up till 9. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Because
I can't even fathom the job that he does and the job that Chris does.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, 5 days a week. Staying up that late.
Right, right. Mm. As soon as Travis told you he was going to stay up till 9, you went,
oh my God. Exactly. No, I emailed the, I said to him today, like, dude, please don't stay up too late. He goes, 9 o'clock. I'm like, no. I mean, it just sounds, it already sounded late to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But even worse when I'm sitting in, and then next week, Travis is on vacation Wednesday through Friday, and then the following Monday and Tuesday. So I'm there for 3 weeks in a row.
You know, sometimes I have considered actually recording this show during morning show hours. Maybe not 6 a.m., maybe like 7 a.m. There's something about being up and talking at that hour that there are fewer inhibitions. I don't know what it is. I just, for some reason, feel more comfortable talking into a microphone early in the morning. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe Stephanie is the same way. There's just some sort
of
wiring.
This is how we came up with Morning Zoo, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably.
Your internal editor is still sawn-logged. He's snoozing away while you're just like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the super ego is like completely checked out while the id just
right.
opens its mouth.
I mean, if I were lucky enough to get a job in radio, I want it in the morning for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
One, I visited a friend and her son in the hospital. He's got cancer, unfortunately.
Oh.
And I emailed her. I said, I want to come over and give you a hug. And she goes, I would love that. I said, I get off work at 9 a.m. She goes, off work?
Yeah.
I'm getting up at 9. I'm like, honey, by 9 a.m., I've been up 6 hours. I mean, I'm ready for that, you know, cocktail at the end of the day at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I can't believe
like the Bakers.
Yeah.
The people I work with, they get there at 4. I'm the slacker. I'm in the last one in the door at 7. Mm-hmm. And everyone else has already been there, and they're all wide awake, and I'm coming in all bed-faced, you know, just like.
Oh. Yeah. Speaking of you, David, what everyone's hearing in the background is chainsaws. There's guys with chainsaws outside of your house.
Yes.
Right.
A giant top section of a tree, like a whole third of a tree just sheared off on Sunday.
Okay.
And came, it's like 12, 13 feet long and about 7, 8 inches thick.
Yeah.
And when it came down, I was like sitting out there on the front porch with just a thin sheet of aluminum awning over my head. And wow. The storm's blowing up. And the temperature here dropped like 22 degrees in 10 minutes. It went from 90 degrees to 68. It just like, ha-boom!
Yeah.
And the wind was insane. And I hear this crack from the sky,
yeah.
Which is never good.
No, never, ever.
And I was like, limbs are falling, and I like lunged for the door, but before I even got there, it was just like, boom, and the ground shook, the house shook.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, it's
good. Like living in California.
Right. It's a good thing you didn't lift off from the, from the wind. Oh my God. Well, I'm glad everything's okay. And
that only happens when I wear my hoop skirt.
Well, honey.
So today is the last free show before our 2-week vacation, and I'm sorry if I get weird on today's show. That's the only reason why. Well, I mean, other
it's
than
my
YouTube
fault.
Being here.
Well, it's always gotta be my fault.
It's yeah. Jody and David. It always makes me weird a little bit. But then compound that with the fact that I'm vacation Bob right now. I'm just like, oh God, I'm so ready for it. We're doing an after party tomorrow, but beyond that, there will be nothing until the next Trek
Politics.
You
should just let
podcast.
The after party just be you and Kimberly doing bong hits and then playing with helium balloons so your voices are super high and then laughing at each other.
That sounds awesome. Like an idea. I think that may actually end up
me. Yeah, like for an hour.
Yeah, great idea. I'm going to write that down. We may end up doing that. I'll suggest that. Because as soon as I tell Kimberly, she's going to be like, well, yeah, of course, let's do that. But anyway, so I hope everyone enjoys their 4th of July holiday coming up. Don't blow your hands off with any firecrackers like Saul Rosenberg.
Doctor's office.
Hi. Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We had some fireworks that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew one off in my hand.
Hello, can I help you?
Hello. Oh, boy. Listen, I was lighting firecrackers that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew...
When did you do this?
Oh, about a little while, half an hour.
Okay, what kind of firework?
It was a firecracker.
Okay.
It looked like, you know, when you finish with the toilet paper, the empty tube?
Yes.
It looked like that, about that size.
Okay.
And,
It's not a firecracker. That's like an M80 then.
Oh, boy. It's big, and it my hand does not look good.
I suggest that you go to an emergency room.
Yeah, this was a firecracker and the fuse, and all of a sudden...
What you can do in the meantime is get a towel.
Fantastic. Oh. A towel? It's stinging me like crazy. You know, these firecrackers, my God, I can't even... Really, I'll tell you, I don't even see fingers, but maybe it's just because I'm numb and stingy. Oh, boy. I really did it good this time.
Okay,
let me wrap this up, and I'll see you with my nub.
Okay.
Right.
Classic.
Name? Okay, I like her going, okay.
Okay, fine. The best part
is... Do you know nurses? Have you met a lot of nurses? That's pretty much the response to everything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do. I have 2 friends that are nurses.
Get them in the exam room.
Okay.
We'll see what we could do.
Yeah, this guy's fingers are blown off, and she puts them on hold with that hold music.
Yeah, I'll see That's you with my dog.
All right, let's get down to business here. How about that? We've had too much fun here.
Oh, yeah, this I know. Is much more fun.
I know everyone's going, hey, play more prank calls. No, but there's
should prank call someone. Caller ID.
Yeah, caller ID. There's a way to block that, though. Anyway.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's a way to block it.
I'm up to speed on all of the
on
prank
the
call tricks and techniques. More dings. So the majority white Roberts Court has overturned affirmative action today. This was the other shoe that was going to drop with the Supreme Court. This is maybe why they decided to create those new black majority districts in those southern states.
Because
they knew this was coming. I mean, I don't know exactly if that's the reasoning behind it, but it seems like a quid pro quo kind of thing. Where, well, we're going to give you this, but we're going to take this for us. You know what I mean?
Black people are equal now, and people of color and indigenous people, so we don't need it.
It was no. The argument was 14th Amendment bullshit.
Yeah. Exactly. So
in other words, the affirmative action is now only for old white billionaires with business before the court and the justices they're trying to buy.
Yeah. I mean, it assumes that or John Roberts is assuming that this discriminates against white people.
It does not.
So it's a matter of equal protection is what they ruled on this.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Yeah. And of course, it was a 6-3 vote, the 3 being the normals on the court.
The Earth won, people.
In a ruling divided along ideological lines, the High Court's six-justice conservative majority found that the universities discriminated against white and Asian American applicants by using race-conscious policies that benefited applicants from underrepresented backgrounds. So that's essentially it. So it goes away, except for white people. This is a point that you made on the Stephanie Miller Show this morning, Jody.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to read this tweet from Michael Harriet. He's a writer and a board certified. I don't even know what that word is. But anyway, this guy.
Spell it for us.
W-Y-P-I-P-O-L-O-G-I-S-T.
White peopleologist.
White peopleologist. Oh, my God. I just didn't even notice
exactly.
That. Okay. All right.
Let me interpret from the ghetto for you.
I wasn't even going to touch that.
Excuse me, stewardess. I speak jive.
Jesus. So he tweeted here. He said, before you begin your think piece, the Supreme Court did not strike down affirmative action. Admission preferences for legacies, donors, employee families, and special recommendations are still allowed. The court struck down affirmative action for everyone except white people.
Yep.
So there it is. God. It's this whole idea that you can somehow discriminate against the vast majority of the population. The population, the part of the population that's in power right now.
It's wildly overrepresented already at Ivy League schools and in the government.
Exactly. I mean, it's. I was telling Chris off air today. I said, I applied to UCLA. And once you apply to a UC school, you may not be accepted to that school, but you could be accepted into the system. And I didn't say that my mom was a graduate from there. I could have. That was not in my application. I probably would have been accepted. I was accepted to UC Irvine, Davis, and Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Which means had I gone to either any of those schools, I could have eventually transferred to UCLA. But I didn't use that card.
Mm-hmm.
I could have.
Of course. That's the privilege that we all enjoy. Mm-hmm. Here's Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson as part dissent here. She said, with let them eat cake obliviousness today.
Get him, girl. Damn, she's one of us. That's.
I love that reaction. With let them eat cake obliviousness today, the majority pulls the ripcord and announces, quote, color blindness for all by legal fiat. But deeming race irrelevant in law does not make it so in life. And having so detached itself from this country's actual past and present experiences, the court has now been lured into interfering with the crucial work that UNC and other institutions of higher learning are doing to solve America's real-world problems. No one benefits from ignorance. Although formal race-linked legal barriers are gone, race still matters to the lived experiences of all Americans in innumerable ways. And today's ruling makes things worse, not better. The best that can be said of the majority's perspective is that it proceeds ostrich-like from the hope that preventing consideration of race will end racism. So there is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, one of the three normals on the court. Decisions like this have other ramifications beyond the law, beyond admission practices, beyond the pointed focus of the decision itself. When you make decisions like this, it gives tacit permission to the worst of the worst to let their awful instincts out in the open.
Yeah.
And so that's a secondary consideration that they haven't even looked at here in voting to strike down affirmative action, knowing that this decision will allow Republicans to say, oh, there's no more racism, and while at the same time...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, while at the same time...
I knew that's where you were going, and yet I spit took.
Right. Sorry. But in the meantime, cops are choking out black people in the streets, and that all continues. All of the different examples of racism that we can come up with still apply today. We still see these things today. I mean, my God, I always think about this in terms of our generation, in terms of Generation X. While on one hand, we're in this new era of enlightenment, on the other hand, we all grew up around some of the worst racist tropes. I mean, there was a chain of restaurants at least here on the East Coast, I don't know what it was like in the West Coast, but we had a chain of restaurants here called Sambo's. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah. I mean, it was part of just everyday life. I mean, they've taken them down now, but I mean, and this applies to Mexican Americans, but there was that tourist trap thing, which still exists at the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. It's called South of the Border. And oh my God, the billboards, the billboards were horrendous. And they, that you would see them from, for like 150 miles each way on I-95 to and from south of the border. It was an amazing thing in some of the worst ways possible. But these are all things that we have grown up with that still, I think, resonate with significant portions of our population. I know people who are very likely celebrating this Supreme Court decision, thinking that
Kevin
somehow...
Kevin McCarthy being one of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know Kevin McCarthy, but yes, I know of Kevin McCarthy. I mean, I know people personally who are like probably going, yeah, white people are discriminated against with affirmative action.
No.
Yeah, of course, that's not the case at all. Yes, exactly. I'm just going to scream this.
No! No!
Thank you, Captain.
They were screaming 999 against it.
Yeah. Well, meantime, here is Justice...
You know, that's what Hitler said when they tried to make him go to rehab.
999.
999! 999! Yeah.
So this is Justice Sotomayor's reaction. She wrote... Today, this court stands in the way and rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress. It holds that race can no longer be used in a limited way in college admissions to achieve such critical benefits. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness as a constitutional principle in an endemically segregated society where race has always mattered and continues to matter. The court subverts the constitutional guarantee of equal protection by further entrenching racial inequality in education, the very foundation of our democratic government and pluralistic society. Because the court's opinion is not grounded in law or fact and contravenes the vision of equality embodied in the 14th Amendment, I dissent. So that was Justice Sotomayor.
And history, well, I mean, good for them for saying, like, look, they're crazy, okay? Yeah. Because it really is a just absolute straight-up bonkers denial of the facts on the ground. I would expect that the schizophrenic woman who was walking circles around the bakery van when I tried to get into it this morning would probably have a better grasp of constitutional law than this.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It just... it's like but it's just, you know, and William F. Buckley was it who said a conservative is the person standing at the wharf of history going, stop.
Yeah.
I'm maintaining more that a conservative is a person standing athwart the flow of history with their fingers on their ears going, la, 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 la. Like, I see nothing. I hear nothing. My ideology is going to somehow change the facts on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need to look at the most violent examples of racism in our society. All you need to do is go to any random street in New York City and watch for white people hailing cabs versus black people hailing cabs.
No shit.
It still happens. Just walk into the dining hall of any university in the country that isn't a historically black college or university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be that. They'll be like, if there are any black people on site at all, they will be a small group and they will be the people working there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the case in California, Jody? I'm unfamiliar. There's no longer affirmative action in California, right?
Since 96. And
wow.
I just learned this today. We suck.
The reason I'm asking you is I heard it on the show this morning when you were hosting.
It was Pete Wilson. So he signed this into law outlawing affirmative action. And apparently UCLA and other schools have figured as Travis called it, a reach around.
That's perfect. Okay.
So I had, that's why I said today, I'm like all the regents of all the UC schools and all the Cal State schools. I mean, private schools, I don't know if they have to worry about this because it's public versus private, but Harvard's private. And so is UNC wasn't, but Harvard's private.
Yeah.
But regardless, there's a way for them to work around this or reach around, as Travis would say. because basically it's even in the ruling.
Yeah.
As awful as the ruling is, it states that applicants can state their problem with racism, depending on their race, and sexism. Well, sexism is not in this ruling, which is what's fucked up about it. If you're going to fuck it up, fuck everything up.
Yeah,
right. It's very specific. And so basically students that are submitting their applications can say, hey, I'm black, I'm Hispanic, I'm Asian, whatever they are, and go, this is my appreciation or horribleness with regard to racism, so that the school can then decide based on that story.
So if you're black or Latino, or you have to, that's what your entrance essay is going to be about?
It's going to have to be anymore.
Regardless?
I mean, I just know that UCLA and other UC system schools are going to be getting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
Before next fall. I mean, this is now new, and people have already been accepted to colleges at this point. Mm-hmm. So it'll be next fall's kids.
I swear my nose just started dripping blood trying to understand this.
I know. It's fucked
so
up.
So if, like, you're gonna, if you're trying to get into, like, UC Davis School of Photography, mm-hmm. and you're going to be – you have to talk about in your about being a black photographer.
I don't know. The UC system has been dealing with this almost 30 years. So those are the regents and the people that you need to talk to every other college on the planet. In the country.
That to me just seems like such a, like, you know, sing and dance for us. You know, it just like
that. It's almost that, but it's the way that they can be as diverse. And they're not that diverse, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, what we're also talking about, though, is the context of 2022, 2023, 2024 mm-hmm. politics, which includes this immense political backlash against anything that can be defined as woke.
Yep.
And what that is inherently is a racist political position.
Yes.
It's a blindingly
racist. Can I go ahead and define woke just real quick, since nobody else can apparently do this?
Enlightenment.
Like, when every time they ask anybody, like, you know, Governor says, what does woke mean? He's like, well, Democrats are trying to, you know, and it's like, define the word
for
that poor, pitiful little asshole. I don't remember her name that was on some other asshole show, and they asked her to define it, and she just completely
froze.
Yeah,
the one that wrote the book on it, right?
Exactly. The one who wrote an entire book about woke, being anti-woke, and then they asked her to define woke, and she can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they would have to admit that woke is being aware of structural inequalities in society with regard to race, gender, and other immutable characteristics like orientation.
Yeah.
That's all it is, but that's like... We can't have that.
Right.
Which to me is like, it's so your sleep, that's your thing. We're unconscious. Yes. We have to be unconscious. We can't be woke. We can't be aware. We need to be as dumb as possible.
Right, right. Well, this anti-woke movement, which is basically the entire Republican Party right now, is infiltrating all levels of our society, from boycotts against certain corporations. We're talking about every level here. And there, because there are people, I mean, it's part of the strategy to infiltrate
these
different institutions.
This is what happens when you live for spite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's like when your whole thing is based around people who you hate and who make you mad, it leads you to all kinds of ridiculous contortions and... Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what's the consequence of this anti-woke movement? You're going to find people within institutions who are making decisions against black people simply because they believe they're suffering from the woke mind virus. You know, that's the attitude that requires affirmative action. It's like anti-woke politics is the new Jim Crow, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that requires affirmative action more than ever, as far as I'm concerned. Because now there's real political... It's no longer happening
Whole definition, the thing you're waking up from is the status quo.
Yeah, exactly. And it's no longer happening in the shadows. It's happening out in the open, where they are happy to underscore how brutally racist they are. Or at the very least, in the very softest language, they support policies that are inherently racist by taking this anti-woke position. I mean, there are entire media platforms that are built around being anti-woke. So this is the one of many hurdles that people of color have to jump these days. And John Roberts comes along with his bullshit naivete and says, oh, well, there's no more racism anymore. We got to protect these white people, because see, all these white people are unable to get into college, which they apparently don't like and hate because it's a platform for wokeness. It's all very confusing. Mm-hmm. the white people who are voting for Republicans right now fucking hate academia. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're lining up.
What's going on there? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So they're walling themselves off in some of these religious institutions, these charter schools and things like that.
And this is the other thing. They feel like they're being discriminated against mm-hmm. because of their religion.
Okay, like, sure.
Folks, I have news for you. Religion, not an immutable characteristic. This mm-hmm. may come as a huge, this might knock you over dead.
Yeah.
But you can change your mind mm-hmm. about your religion, but you cannot change your mind about your race.
God, such a good point. Yeah, yeah.
But they think it's like, you know, I will die before I'm not a Christian. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you actually won't. But
well, here's my favorite president reacting to this ruling. Barack Obama tweeted this today. He said, affirmative action was never a complete answer in the drive towards a more just society, but for generations of students who had been systematically excluded from most of America's key institutions, it gave us the chance to show we more than deserved a seat at the table.
Yep.
In the wake of the Supreme Court's recent decision, it's time to redouble our efforts. Well said, Mr. President. Michelle Obama also wrote like a 4-paragraph thing that she posted on her Twitter feed, too. It's pretty long, so I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll just give you the first paragraph here. Back in college, I was one of the few black students on my campus, and I was proud of getting into such a respected school. I knew I'd worked hard for it, but still, I sometimes wondered if people thought I got there because of affirmative action. It was a shadow that students like me couldn't shake, whether those doubts came from the outside or inside our own minds. But the fact is this, I belonged. And semester after semester, decade after decade, for more than half a century, countless students like me showed they belonged too. It wasn't just the kids of color who benefited either. Every student who heard a perspective they might not have encountered, who had an assumption challenged, who had their minds and their hearts opened, gained a lot as well. Great point. It wasn't perfect.
Yeah, it's education, folks. That's what it's for.
Bingo.
Broaden your horizons.
Yes, college to me is 85% socialization and 15% education.
That's about how I treated it in terms of studying, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, there are different kinds of socialization.
I was like, I'm hanging out. I'm in college. That's what I'm supposed to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, my experience in college was really about learning to live on my own, engage with people who I didn't grow up with, who I was just meeting for the first time. That's an invaluable resource. That's why
Absolutely.
I will always promote the idea of not only going to college, but going away to college.
I agree.
Yeah. It's so important.
I mean, I went to 4 different high schools, so going to college was like, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm from a military family, so I learned to make friends. Everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing, right? I went to a boarding school prior to moving into college. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to live in the freshman dorm because those people are nuts. Because it's their first time away from their parents, most of them. So I was like, can I get in the sophomore junior dorm, please? And I was lucky enough to be in a dorm where people actually understood college.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I enjoyed the socialization. I mean, my roommate, she's from Antioch, California, which is a little teeny tiny town.
Teeny tiny
in Northern California, teeny tiny little town. Mm-hmm. And I'm still friends with her. I'm still friends with a bunch of people from that school.
Yeah.
And it was a small little, it was super expensive private school. Thanks, mom and dad. I think I've told you guys this story. My friend Dale, when he realized that, when he wanted to come out, He called me up. I was a junior. I was in my apartment because I didn't have to live on campus anymore. So I'm in my apartment. He calls me. I need to come over. I'm like, okay. And so he comes over and he says, I have to tell you something. I said, what? And he goes, I'm gay. And I said, uh-huh. He goes,
duh.
He goes, wait, you knew? And I said, yeah. Didn't you? He goes, why didn't you tell me? So, I mean... It was the cutest thing ever. It was the most adorable thing. I thought you knew you were gay. Exactly. I figured you already knew. But he was like, do you know, he first realized in college at like 19, 20 years old. And then my other friend, Scott, also gay. He's been with his now husband for over 30 years. see straight relationships break up more than gays once you hit it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Scott came. He called me one night and he goes, I had a wet dream about you.
Oh.
And I went, and he was concerned that he was straight. And I said, oh, no, babe. No. You're still a gay.
I'm just that fucking hot.
I know. Trust me, that if you've seen the bad pictures of me. Anyway, it was just like, honey, straight people have gay dreams and gay people have straight dreams. It's just a dream.
Mm.
You're still the lovely gay man I know you.
Awesome.
You know, and
I saw a t-shirt that said, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings by calling you a dick. I thought you knew.
All right, on that note, still to come on today's show, Rick Scott says people who believe in big government aren't welcome in Florida. We're very, very sorry, Buzz and Marsha Burbank. Trump's stupid response to the Bedminster tapes. Looks like Rudy Giuliani might flip.
Oh, he's flipping.
Yeah. Rudy Giuliani's going to go through some things here in the not-too-distant future.
It's despicable.
Yeah, if he hasn't already. Plus, Bedminster surveillance video, we're going to talk about that. Trump is suddenly woke. Speaking of woke, apparently Trump is waving the woke flag now. We'll talk about that, too, and a whole lot more still to come on our Big Thursday show. But today's podcast is brought to you by the After Party on our Patreon page. Every single Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week live from our refrigerator. But this one is different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to the After Party for $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get 2 Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. That's the way it will always be. BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com, or just Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bob Seska!
Another track from the great Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith. This is Satellite from the greatest prog album ever recorded. It's called Cosmological.
I'll let them know. I mean,
yeah. I mean it. I mean every word of that. Yeah. I love this album so much. In fact, for yesterday's interview show, Cersei and Christian were supposed to be on the show.
Uh-huh.
And there was a sudden scheduling conflict. Suddenly something came up. Marsha Brady.
Really? Did you break your nose, Bob, on a football?
I did. I'm so sorry, Cersei. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, she had a family commitment that came up yesterday. Well, so what we did is we postponed yesterday's interview with Cersei Link and Christian Nesbitt to July 19th.
Can't wait.
When we're going to do a track-by-track breakdown of this album. Find out
They're
everything there is to know. Oh my God, Jody, I'm so glad you introduced us to Cersei Link and Christian Nesbitt, because this album, I can't stop listening to it. It's the best, yeah. So good. You don't even have to be into prog rock to appreciate this. It's just a great album. I mean, mainly because of hooks like this. This is so good. Okay, see, I'm Vacation Bob, so I'm indulging myself in
that's a great
some amazing music, yeah. So fucking good. Okay,
I had a great time at Athfest last weekend. Did I tell you guys that I performed the goth karaoke song, Goth Karaoke Night, at Goth Karaoke Night?
All right.
Yeah, that's going to be out very soon.
Oh, that's so great.
I keep saying I'm gonna watch this video. I'm gonna learn to mastermind in music, and I get like to minute 11 before my brain stops absorbing information. And then after that, it's just all like wah 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 wah. I'm trying, folks, but I'm probably gonna end up sending it to Lonnie again.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, Lonnie, if you're listening.
Well, just keep us posted on that.
He's been taking care of our pool. There's been an issue, so.
There's an issue with the pool.
Now you've got a hot pool boy.
I do.
Have you got him out there in a little Speedo with a net thing? Like,
you know, I wish he were to wear that. No, we actually, we were.
You could probably convince him.
Oh, no, he would. He'd rather walk around naked. But
okay, Tommy Lee.
Exactly. I don't think his penis tucks.
Did you say, was that talks at the end there?
Talks.
Oh, okay, got it. All right.
If it hasn't spoken to you by now, Jody, I'm pretty sure it's not going to suddenly pipe up in the middle of
everything. It speaks to me in different ways, David.
okay.
But no, we were quoted $13,000 to resurface our pool, and I'm like,
Wow.
And then he found some primer and stuff that our pool man's fine with. So he did all this work the last week and a half.
Oh, good for him. Excellent.
Yeah, it's crazy what he's done. And so, yay.
Excellent.
So you're saying he needs an inside project for, I'll send the song today.
Okay, whoa, I was just about to change the subject and I coughed. Okay, so Rick Scott says people who believe in socialism and big government are no longer welcome in Florida. Here's Gangrel Creature, Rick Scott from Lord of the Rings.
Senator Rick Scott here. Let me give you a travel warning. If you're a socialist, communist, somebody that believes in big government, I would think twice. Think twice if you're thinking about taking a vacation or moving to Florida.
You know what that's going to do? I'll just pause right here. You know what that's going to do? I feel like going to Florida now. It absolutely makes me want to go to Florida.
Hey, let's mess with Texas. You know, like, let's fuck with Florida. You fucking wang of a state.
Don't tell me not to do something.
Rick Scott should not be on camera doing anything ever. He has the opposite of whatever charisma is.
That's right.
Like, I mean, he's got those crazy fucking eyes and that reptile face.
Yeah.
And Skeletor.
We know he's a fucking Medicaid fraud criminal of, the most prolific criminal in history with regards to Medicaid fraud, and yet here he is posturing because he doesn't care if socialists come to Florida and spend their money. He wants them to he wants everybody to go to fucking Disneyland whether he says it or not.
Yeah
They make money.
Rick Scott is just tall Gollum.
Sad.
That's what he is.
He's Gollum with better posture.
That's right. But maybe he's like in between Gollum. Remember that part of Return of the King where we see Smeagol slowly turning into Gollum. So maybe Rick Scott comes out of his cave where he eats live fish up close with the squirting juices. And maybe he's at that stage where he's halfway
through. Drinks Bailey's from his shoe. No.
Let's get back to this Rick Scott tape.
We're the free state of Florida. We actually don't believe in socialism. We actually know people, and some people in our state lived under it. We know people lived under socialism. It's not good. It's not good for anybody. So if you're thinking about it, if you think about coming to Florida and you're a socialist or communist, think twice. We like freedom, liberty, capitalism, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Fuck them.
Yeah, I agree, Bob.
Scripted at all?
Yeah, no, he's so full of shit.
See, like, I know about socialism because it happened to my cousin's best friend. Right. You know, like, it's totally like he's talking about his girlfriend at another school who lives in Canada.
You know, the worst part about this isn't just, okay, if your ideology doesn't line up with mine, you're not allowed to come here. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Right.
But what's worse about this is how he's taking his own supporters for the suckers that they are. He's banking on the fact that they don't know that the American economy is a mixed economy, part capitalist, part socialist. That's the way it is. And if Rick Scott doesn't like the socialist part, he can feel free to give back all the federal aid that Florida receives.
Yeah. And all the fucking Medicaid he pocketed. For
yes.
That's government money too. Like,
exactly. Yes, Medicaid
but, I mean,
is
have you heard modern country music?
Yes.
Because it's just like a parade of brand identity.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm a truck driving, camel smoking, jean wear, you know, and it's just like, it's. I mean, I could write a country song.
Yeah,
right?
Toby Keith wrote a song about the red Solo cups. But anyway, so the fact of the matter is, though, we're not a purely capitalist economy in the United States.
By the way, that's a song. Professional songwriter handled that for him. But go on.
The Red Solo Cup song.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're aware of that song?
Totally.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I live
in. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Georgia. Remember?
That's true. Yes.
I mean, I live in a nice little blueberry in a red bowl of soup, but like, I mean, it still comes in, it filters.
Yeah. Yeah. But I, you know, I'm not sure the exact percentage of annual revenue that Florida receives comes from the federal government. I don't have that number at my disposal. It's quite a bit. I mean, they got a ton
of
money.
All the red states get the most federal aid because they have the most poor people.
Yeah.
And the most illiterate people, the most, you know, pregnant teenagers. And it's just, this is the whole thing. Is they're like, we're going to completely fly by our ideology.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's his fucking face? The former vice president, the houseplant. I can't think of his name. Pence.
Yes.
In Indiana, when he was like, we're going to take away all the family planning. We're going to take away all the clinics for women and STD clinics. And the fucking, they, like, it was the fastest, most insane HIV outbreak in history. Like, people that got sick so fast in Indiana because they took away all the harm reduction. Mm-hmm. They took away all the training for people with junkies and using clean needles. They took away all the STD testing.
Yeah.
They took away. And so when you knock out abortion care, it takes care of all of these other – I mean, it destroys all these other things too.
Yeah.
Because it has a knock-on effect with STDs and, I mean, and actual family planning issues. And it just – this is what makes me crazy is when people like believe that they can say, I wish, and I'll pray and Jesus will make it so, and shit on the ground gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like thoughts and prayers about guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like your shit. It's not doing shit, guys. Mm-hmm. I need you to do more than that. I need you to get up off your fucking knees, roll up your sleeves and change some shit and do what Jesus fucking said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Feed some hungry people. Take in the sick and the people who are not like you and give your money away. Pray in home in your closet is what he said. Yeah. Like, keep it to yourself. They will know you by your works, not by your words.
Right.
That's what the fucking New Testament says, but they want to ignore that part.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
there is no commandment, thou shalt hoard thy fucking wealth.
Well, I mean, this is something that even wealthy people avail themselves of. I'm talking about socialism. I mean, more so, I think, than poor people.
They get more than we do.
Yes, of course.
Fucking handouts and PPP loans. How many of you guys got a PPP loan?
Not
there?
Me.
Marjorie Taylor got one.
Nope.
Matt Gaetz got one.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking socialism. God, I hate them so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's a weird loophole in this anti-big government thing from Rick Scott. You know the Daily Wire guy, Michael Knowles, who's responsible for this anti-trans persecution that's happening in this country right now? Michael Knowles says that he's a big government conservative, which basically means he's an authoritarian fascist.
It means he's a fucking fascist.
Yeah, but I mean, he's claims to support big government. So I guess he's out. He can't go to Florida because
Rick
Scott said
that. So what's going to fund that, dick brain?
I have no idea. They're so confused.
Nobody, you don't want to pay taxes. You want to be a libertarian with big government? How are you going to do that? How you gonna square that circle? This is, I just, the things that they walk around contradictorily holding in their heads at the same time. Does it make your ears bleed occasionally?
Do you wake God, up yes, all the time.
With like a bloody pillow because you're sitting there thinking that Mexicans are lazy and yet they are these superhuman workers.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time,
Rick Scott is talking about making sure socialists and big government people don't go to Florida. Donald Trump wants to ban them from ever entering the country in the first place. Here's exactly. Trump talking about how he wants to ban socialists and communists from entering the United States if he's elected president again.
Made them competitive. Today, I'm announcing a new plan to protect the integrity of our immigration system. Federal law prohibits the entry of communists and totalitarians into the United States.
He might as well just be saying federal law guarantees lollipops and Mountain Dews to everybody. I mean, it's just like, it's just buzz. It's just where is the, yeah. It gives them a little squirt of dopamine. How are you going to determine? It doesn't say communist on your passport.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't say, oh, I'm traveling to the United States to go to Las Vegas, but I'm a totalitarian. That's pretty much like everybody that Putin hangs out with.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you weed them out? First of all, do you ask them when they're entering, are you a communist? And if they say yes, you kick them out?
If you asked him again, if you said, well, Donald, what is a communist? Can you define that for us?
Oh, no, he can't do that.
No.
There's no way. No way. He has no idea. He has no idea what communism means. They're very, very confused when it comes to that word, because they also think that fascism can be socialistic as well. They believe that the Nazis were socialists. Which is so strange. Such a strange thing. But
they
weren't.
Well, because I mean, the depth of their World War II knowledge has come from Sergeant Rock comics. You know that, right?
That's true. Yes, yes.
So, I mean, they really don't know fuck all about history.
No. And here's more of Donald Trump not knowing fuck all.
But my question is, what do we do with the ones that are already here that grew up in
What do we do with the ones that are already here? Yeah.
I think we have to pass a new law for them. Using federal
interesting. So the other thing he wants to do is round up anyone who has who believes in socialism and boot them out of the country, deport them.
So to Bernie Sanders is number one.
That's half the economy, guys. Half the fucking economy.
Please deport me. Police. Deport me to Canada now. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yes, I'm a socialist. Please, Donald Trump, deport me. Deport me right on up to Trudeau country.
Yeah.
And we'll get me some free health care and some maple syrup and a pet moose. And I'll be super polite to everybody. And I'll be like, how's it going? You out and about today? I mean, fine. I'll take it.
Such a moron.
And all Marxists.
That includes Harpo and, and Groucho.
Yes, that's right.
Zeppo
it's has
Zeppo
to go.
That we got to worry about. Yeah.
We're really opposed to Zeppo. If your name is Zeppo, you can know because of Section 2F5 of the Nationality Immigrants Act, Zeppo cannot enter the country. Because he's a socialist.
I'm a Marxist. I'm a Groucho Marxist. I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How that elephant got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
Come to and join our country. Must love our country. We want them to love our country. We don't want them when they want to destroy our country. Welcome to America. We want to destroy your country. Thank you very much. So we're going to keep foreign Christian-hating communists, Marxists, and socialists out of America. We're keeping them out of America.
Dude, if you're in charge, they don't want to come here. You remember immigration like dropped to like a net zero when he was
I think getting shot.
People in Norway don't want to come here because they don't want to get shot and get stuck with a bill.
Exactly right. I was just going to say, getting shot in the head at Target is probably not favorable to a lot of people right now. It's kind of a deal breaker. All right. Well, that's that a-hole. Meantime,
Freddy didn't work in a good honk for us. I mean, that usually is how he. And it's horrible. Yeah.
Right. He made sure to include one of those in there too. All right. We're gonna take another break, and we come back. We're gonna go through this Bedminster tape, or I should say, Trump's reaction to the Bedminster tape. Because he's all over the place. You know how we've always talked about how Donald Trump will contradict himself within the same sentence or the same paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, he totally did that in this tape. And then we'll talk about this bravado defense that they're trying
in
to wheel
tape,
out.
This tape I never heard. I sound so manly.
Exactly
no, I never
right.
saw, not heard. Saw.
All right, one last break. Back with more show right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bob Seska, plays more music.
Everybody come on, let's get down.
Okay, got my roller skates.
Yeah, this is a great freak bass. Yeah, one of the greats we play here on the show, and he's a hell of a nice guy, too. Freak bass. Yeah, and we played...
It's practically like it's like mirror balls just spilling out of the speaker into your lap.
Pretty much, sounds
like I'm like at the skating rink. I can smell the hairspray on the girls and the Bonnie Bell lip smackers. You know, like I'm so there.
Yeah, you know who's becoming a big deal on TikTok right now is Freak Bass.
Cool.
Go follow him on TikTok. He does all kinds of live shows. Jams and videos. He's also on Twitch. I think it's twitch.tv/freakbase.
Yes, does this mean I have to start using the TikToks?
I'm on the TikTok. I am. I don't have the app. I don't have the app on my phone. I just I go to the desktop version of it, upload my thing, and then I run away. That's what I do. That's how I handle TikTok. I just say, okay, here's a new video. Bye!
Okay, say thank you!
I run out of the room.
Please don't.
That was like
me
when we were all grieving together over Jody's kitty. And I was just like, all right, I'm on the floor. I'm not coming back. Great show, everybody. See you next week.
See you later, guys.
Please don't follow me. Okay. Where were we here? Trump's stupid response to the Bedminster tapes. Predictably stupid.
The person who I hate the most on the Bedminster tapes is the fucking aide. Like the whoever that person is licking his ass so vigorously that her fucking tongue is like coming unhinged at the base. I mean, it is so fucking gross and disgusting. And I'm just like, whoever you are, your parents didn't raise you to be this way, young lady.
Well, oh my God, you better believe that she has been subpoenaed if she hasn't already.
Oh, hell yeah.
She potentially handed Donald Trump the Iran document. Because here, he says, here, let me see that. And so someone picks up the document and puts it in his stubby little hands. And
let
so
me
that,
see that. Can you imagine? I mean, just once in your life, please hand me that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. I fucking is so disgusting.
Yeah, I know. But suffice to say, she had her hands, possibly. Mm-hmm. There could have been another aide there. Who knows? Walton Outa could have been standing there. But someone handed him that document because he asked them to. And so then they did. Because they're stupid, and he doesn't care about the people around him. He will throw them all under the bus if he has to. So anyway, let's
Does he have like the boxes like with the lids off like all around him at this point? Like, or is he like?
There's just a big pile.
He's at a desk.
It's a big pile all over his Bedminster desk. It's a giant pile of papers. I mean, there were so many papers. I presume that's why the Iran document is missing now. Yeah. His attorneys can't find it. It's gone. It's vanished.
Did they search Bedminster, though?
Not yet. We're going to get to that story in just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a thing. Bedminster is still a thing.
But I'm guessing he probably handed over to the Saudis when they were at Bedminster.
Entirely possible. Entirely possible.
And then they've handed it over to Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's this tape where Donald Trump is being asked about the actual Bedminster tape. So this is his reaction, his first reaction to it.
Everything was fine. We did nothing wrong, and everybody knows it.
Okay, he says that to everything. He says that about everything. There was no quid pro quo. There is no quid pro quo.
Perfect phone call. If you're a sociopath and you believe that you can't do anything wrong, mm-hmm. that kind of cancels everything out. But like, let's just drop that for a second, Donald, and recast the question.
Right.
Everything was fine. We did nothing wrong, and everybody knows it.
Not everybody. We all know that.
Not even close.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're not concerned then with your own voice on those recordings.
My voice was fine.
Okay, my voice was fine, which is an acknowledgement that he's heard the tape. Uh-huh. Okay, just so we're clear about that.
What did I say wrong in those recordings? I didn't even see the recording.
Okay, so he didn't even see the recording.
Well, I mean, does one actually see an audio recording?
Yeah.
Good not point. Anymore, because they're not on reel-to-reel or, you know.
Yeah, they're not on actual tape.
Somebody's and iPhone.
Unless it's you see the visual of the sound waves, you're not actually seeing an audio recording.
But maybe, here's what I think. Maybe he believes that there's video. Maybe he believes, because maybe it's not just an audio recording. Maybe we're only hearing the leaked audio portion of it, and there's actual video that goes with it. I mean, if you've got an opportunity to be in the same room with Donald Trump as this ghostwriter did, are you just making an audio recording, or are you going to avail yourself of the little teeny tiny video camera on your telephone to actually shoot video of the ex-president? I don't know. I'm choosing video myself. And so it's entirely possible that he's admitting in a roundabout way that there's a video portion of all of this. So just bear that in mind.
All I know is I did nothing wrong. We had a lot of papers stacked up. In fact, you could hear the rustle of the paper.
More confirmation that he's heard the goddamn tape.
And nobody said I did anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, I never saw it, but I looked fantastic. You know, like, make up your mind.
Exactly. But that's what I mean. He just, what he does is he says whatever comes off the top of his head in order to wiggle out of a predicament. His entire life is trying to fix.
This is just where I'm at. Like, why do people believe it?
Yeah.
I mean, because they want to, obviously. But if someone wants to believe something, it takes very little to persuade them. But.
Well, we played a tape of Jim Comey on Tuesday, and he was being interviewed, and he was talking about Trump supporters. And let's set aside what Jim Comey did before the 2016 election and just focus on what I'm about to say. Jim Comey has this analysis that I think is quite valid, that one of the reasons why they still support Donald Trump is because they're afraid to admit that they were conned. And so they double down on their support because they don't want to face the fact that they were fooled by this obvious con man. And so that keeps them going back for more of this bullshit. They just want to, they're so desperate to save face.
Still of the paper, and nobody said I did anything wrong other than the fake news, which of course is Fox 2.
Are there any other recordings that we should be concerned of?
I don't know of any recordings that you should be concerned with because I don't do things wrong. I do things right. I'm a legitimate person.
Okay, let's wait. Hang on. We missed that last part. The last part's the most important part, I think. Here we go.
That you should be concerned with because I don't do things wrong. I do things right. I'm a legitimate person.
Thank you, Michael Corleone.
Now that he said that, I'm starting to wonder if his parents were married. Like, I mean, just because everything he says is a fucking lie. Yeah. So maybe we need to look at your birth certificate, Donald.
Right, right. Well, I mean,
the long form one.
Don't mobsters say that all the time? We're going to take our business totally legitimate. In a matter of time, the family business will be legitimate.
Yep.
It's oh my God, it's a mob word. Mm-hmm. So there it is. All right.
Grammatically, it makes no sense at all. Yeah. I'm a legitimate person. It means I'm not a counterfeit person.
Right.
I don't do things wrong. I mean, what kind of fucking psychopath are you, dude?
Yeah. But
everybody makes mistakes. Everybody drops things. Everybody trips over things. Like, everybody makes mistakes, but not him. Never. Nope. He's... He yeah. once thought he made a mistake, but he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it just...
Yeah,
fucking,
yeah. It's that toxic positivity of his. I mean, everything he does is trying to fix a previous fuck-up, whether it's a previous lie or a previous crime. So he's always got to stay. It's got to be a horrible way to live, trying to stay one step ahead of your own worst instincts.
Yep.
That's his entire life. That's why he's in all of these legal problems. That's why he's in so much trouble legally. Because
that's why he's like has no other. I mean, he doesn't think. He doesn't have a sense of humor. He doesn't reflect on anything. His mental life is purely just like eat, kill, run.
Right.
You know.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. In fact, like that's what Comey was saying. Comey was saying that he's got this reptilian cleverness. He said he's not a smart man, but he's got reptilian cleverness. And so
evil Gemini.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Tricky, but not smart. Just. Tricky.
So meantime, special counsel prosecutors have subpoenaed surveillance footage from Bedminster, much like they did from Mar-a-Lago, and fought a pitched battle with Mr. Trump's lawyers late last year over how best to search the New Jersey property. The first thing I thought of when I saw this news come down, this was 2 days ago from the New York Times. What if there's video that matches that July 2021 tape in Bedminster?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, I mean, even if the ghostwriter didn't have the video camera running, the video part of their phone running, what if there's a surveillance video of
that
same thing?
I think you are absolutely right. Now, I can see like an author, someone who's trying to do research for a book, just doing audio, because you use voice notes for that stuff. Journalists do it all. I mean,
sure.
But surveillance video, that I think is 100% likely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
I think that's the nail.
As far as writing a book goes, there is this new dimension of the modern era, which is that it's very likely a book, especially one that's political nonfiction, may actually get made into a documentary. So having video could be helpful in that endeavor. If the book is optioned for a documentary.
Did you basically just call me old?
Maybe. I think I did.
Some
Sorry.
People. Not, no, you know,
Sorry, Grandpa.
Dead tree writer is Ferguson, the grandpa over there. Like, you know, they might take audio notes, but.
Yeah, see, Pops, there's this thing called streaming television where they like to have document.
TV in a stream? What are you saying, boy?
But, I mean, it'd be very easy to synchronize the audio recording from Bedminster with surveillance footage. Because they're going to try to blow holes through the audio recording. Say it's a deep fake or that it's selectively edited. Well, what they don't realize is that there are witnesses. There are people who are going to testify to corroborate the existence of that video. That, of course, they are. But there may be other evidence to show that the video is real. I mean, the audio is real, including the possibility of accompanying video. I'm just saying.
So, I think he likes the idea of being on camera all the time.
Sure.
Except when he's in the bathroom or his hair's a mess.
Yeah, yeah. You well, he's got a whole process for it.
Like Nixon, I strongly suspect that, like, every single moment of that conversation was documented by a camera in the study.
Right. Well, meantime, we'll wrap up with this. Donald Trump is suddenly woke. This is an amazing thing he wrote here on, was it Truth Central?
Truth Central.
He wrote, he quoted a piece from Reuters, fake news Reuters. That's another thing. Oh, my God, he's quoting Reuters.
Oh, no, it's always true when it supports what he wants.
Right. Oh,
that's the thing. It's only fake when it says bad things about him.
Yeah. Starts out with this quote. It said, President Joe Biden and every living president except Donald Trump are direct descendants of slaveholders Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and through his white mother's side, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. And then he writes Reuters. So let me just stop right there. There's one more or two more lines in this troth here, but I want to explain this Reuters piece. Yes, there is a piece by Reuters where they go through the ancestry of many, many public officials in existence right now. And you know who else? You know who else has slaveholding ancestors? Trump nominated Supreme Court Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch.
No shit. Shocker.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean,
yeah, they're the only two justices on the list. Plus, as we all know, Fred Trump was arrested for attending a KKK rally. And Donald Trump's acting as though he's
the only reason I mean, the gene pool of this country, this is the thing. We are like, I mean, these, if you've been here, I mean, the first group of people here were slaves and slave owners.
Right.
Well, the first people were a bunch of religious zealots that nearly died.
Yeah.
Until the natives took them under their wing. And then we took away everything and gave them smallpox blankets. But, I mean, the vast majority of white people that were here were slave owners. And so if you didn't die childless, you contributed to this collective gene pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, like, actually, I don't have any slave owners in my past because my ancestors didn't get here until after the Civil War from Ireland, and the ones from Sweden were just too fucking poor.
Yeah.
So, like, but, I mean, of course. But this is... We all knew this, that the upper classes of our country have been a ruling class that stretches back for generations, and it takes very, you know, years and years to launder yourself into it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, if Fred Trump had been around when slavery was still legal, you better believe that he would not only have slaves, but he would be
No, the only reason Donald Trump doesn't have slave owner ancestors is because his parents are his children of immigrants.
Right.
Like, you haven't been here that long.
Exactly.
If your family had been here long enough, Spanky, you would have some slave owner blood too.
Of course.
But you were immigrant. So it's a good thing they didn't separate your ancestors' family at the border.
So here's what he added here at the end. He said, I hope that every African American in our country is reading this right now. And then he wrote, remember.
Sorry.
Did you just make a Jody sound?
Oh my God.
And then he ended with all caps, remember!
Like the Central Park Five? I remember the Central Park Five.
You remember what you had for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, so, right. Trump is woke. What else can you say?
Yeah.
Maybe the Republicans will boycott him now. Oh, I
know. No one
seriously
has done more for the blacks than me. It's just, I want to die.
Oh, one last thing here. I thought I was going to say that was the last news story
it's
of the day.
Despicable.
But Rudy Giuliani is here still. Rudy Giuliani recently met with federal prosecutors investigating Trump's efforts to reverse the 2020 election results. The voluntary interview with special counsel Jack Smith's prosecutors comes as the grand jury has questioned the actions of Trump's lawyers, including Giuliani, and their baseless claims of widespread voter fraud. So it's possible that Rudy Giuliani ends up flipping under pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I think he absolutely does.
Oh, no, I've been
does.
Hearing things. I mean, someone was talking about it on another podcast. Of course, can't remember which one. That word is flying that Rudy is terrified of dying in prison.
Yeah. No, he's going to
flip. He has apparently started drinking heavily. And I was like, started?
Started?
Did he started at happy hour on election day.
Yeah, I remember. I saw that.
Has not stopped.
Election day 1976.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll make you sweat motor oil, man. Don't drink, kids.
Yeah.
You will sweat black shit down your face in front of a lawn and garden.
I mean, I know AI is writing a lot of this shit now, but where are the fucking editors to go, oh, yeah, Rudy always drinks.
Yeah.
I mean, who lets that line go and approves that without going, hey, you know what? He's notorious for constantly being soused. Like Otis from Mayberry. In fact, Otis from Mayberry seems sober and centered compared to Rudy Giuliani.
A veritable icon of self-actualization compared to Rudy Giuliani.
Right. Okay, so as we wrap up the last free show before vacation, I know everyone's so sad, right? Sad. It's sad, except for me. I'm quite happy. No offense to everybody, but I need to take a break.
If you need to follow me, I'll be at my Patreon, patreon.com/astralsummer. I'll be blogging every couple days, if not every day, with pictures of shit I've done or what I'm cooking, or we can hang out. Come
on. That's awesome. Yes.
All my posts have been public lately, by the way, just so people can come see what it's about. So come on down.
Patreon.com/astralsummer. Also, you can find Jody Hamilton at patreon.com/fromthebunker. That's where she is. That's where she lives. She lives inside that
website. I live in a bunker and in Patreon.
Yes, you've cut a little window just like you would if you made like a fort out of a refrigerator box.
Totally. As you would know with living in a refrigerator, you understand how big those boxes are.
Yes, they're gigantic. Yeah. Especially our refrigerator box. Anyway. Oh, and by the way, you can find my Trek Politics podcast with Mary Trump. trekpolitics.com.
It's awesome, folks. I love it. Oh, sorry.
Have you heard the Stashwick interview? Holy God.
Not yet.
One of my favorite interviews.
After the show.
Yeah, it's one of the best interviews I've been lucky enough to participate in. He is so good and so entertaining and so interesting and fascinating.
Did you remember to tell Mary that I said hi and sent my love? Did you?
No. Let's just say we did. Yeah.
Bob.
I forgot.
I'm not angry. Yeah. I'm just really sad about it.
He's disappointed.
I know. I'm so sorry. All right. Well, you know what? We're doing the Shadow Docket next. That's on our Patreon page. My Patreon page is patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. We'll see you there. Have a great 4th of July. Don't blow your fingers off. Bye-bye.